I want to do something a little unique this morning. Welcome Stephanie here today. But for the most part, this Sunday, it's just us again. So I would really like to take the opportunity to give you a word that I really feel excited about. And I feel like this is a really important key, an important step in the direction and the vision that God has for this church, but not just for this church, but for the body of Christ, period. And I know some have already probably have an understanding of this, and I know there's some churches that have already got an understanding of this, but I believe there's also a lot that this is going to be kind of a new word. So if I could just be a little obnoxious and ask everybody to come and sit in the center, in the center section. I know, I got weird eyes already, but if it's possible, I would like everybody to be together. There's something about being close that I just feel is really important. I want to take some time and possibly do I don't know what you want to call it, teaching, preaching, treaching, whatever, but I think it's really important that we hear this this morning. And I want to be careful not to say it's a brand new word, but I do believe it is a fresh word. So even if it's something that you've heard preached about before, please don't turn me off immediately, because there's a point to it. I believe that when I ask God for a message for this body, I believe He gives them to me. I really do. I hope you believe that too. But there are on occasions when there are things that actually make me want to burst inside. And this is one of them that is, I feel like it's a key to help us accomplish the things that God has for us to accomplish. And some of it is just opening our eyes. I talked this morning about as long as we keep our minds and our minds where they are, then that's pretty much where they're going to stay. But we have to pray, God, blow my mind. Just blow my mind. Enlarge my mind to the place that I can comprehend and understand new and in-depth things from you that I maybe don't know, or maybe I forgot, or maybe I knew it, but not quite that way. So this morning, I would ask you to stand with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, I ask in the name of Jesus right now that you would open our hearts, open our ears, and open our minds to be blown by you. Lord, I pray that you would use the words that come out of my mouth to be your words, and that they will expand the horizon of our thought process and our thinking to go beyond what we see in what we conclude to be reality into a mind-blowing experience and relationship with you that is beyond anything we ever thought possible because of this one key that may get us to other places, but I pray, Lord, that this is opened up in our hearts and our minds that just blows us away. We receive from you right now your living word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have a lot of scripture to read today. I don't know if I will get through all of them, and I have tried very hard to narrow it down in different passages, so that there's not lots of verses in each chapter. But I do want to look at a few things today because I think it's important. Last week we talked about changing the culture. And today I want to just, if we're going to title it, let's just title it the same thing, changing the culture. I'm mostly reading out of the New Living Translation this morning, but I want to read John 3:16 as a jumping off spot anyways. John answered their questions by saying, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And I kind of teased the first class this morning a little bit with baptism, and I want to just kind of read my notes here. I don't want to go into a whole lot of detail, but just so you guys, if you're taking notes, these are some good things to know about baptism. Baptism comes from a Greek word that means immerse. So without going into a whole lot of teaching about baptism, to be baptized, you must be immersed. That's what it means. The first time the word was found in ancient text was in a pickling recipe. I don't know, some of you have heard me talk about this before, but it's kind of interesting to think about the immersion of a cucumber in the brine until it changes everything about its texture to become something completely different. That's what baptism is. Baptism is, you don't go down a wet center and come up a dry center, or a dry center and come up a wet center, right? That's not what baptism is. Bless you. Baptism is going down in the water as a representation of pickle me, God. Change me so that I am changed from the inside out completely. Don't let anything be exactly the same as it was. By using the same word, immerse, we use that word in our English today. We explain it as if someone is involved oneself deeply in a particular activity or interest. For example, she immersed herself in her work. Absorbed in, engrossed in, occupied by, engaged, truly engaged in. This is being immersed. So when we talk about water baptism, we're talking about God completely change me from the way I was to something new, like as in a new creature. But when we start talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's the same thing. Lord, completely change me from the inside out spiritually by your Spirit so that I am no longer the same as I was prior to. Right? So baptism changes us. I don't know exactly right off the top of my head where the passage is, but there's a passage, I believe it, Paul talks about. It says, moving away from the doctrines of baptisms, not that they're doing away with them, but grow up from that, which means there are multiple baptisms. There's a baptism of water, there's a baptism of spirit, and there's at least other baptisms, let's put it that way, which we'll get into one in a minute, all right? In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 40, in the Message Bible, it says, we find Peter's sermon. Remember, the book of Acts, chapter 2, talks about how Peter stood up and said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, that message, he says, it says that he went on for quite some time. It wasn't a short message. It was kind of a long message. But when he got done with that message, the last thing he said was this: get out while you can. Get out of this sick and stupid culture. So changing our culture is not a new concept. I want to spend a little bit more time exploring the idea of changing our culture. One way the culture can be changed is by making a decision, and over time, with discipline, hard work, commitment, stick-to-itiveness. I'm not quite sure if that's a real word either, but I thought I came up with a new one today. I didn't. Through those kind of attributes and with God's help, we can make changes in our life that changes the culture. Another way is what seems like to be just a natural order or a response, but our response to circumstances will change the culture. There's a minister and highly respected by many, many, including myself. His name is Mahesh Shavda. Anybody ever heard of him before? He would fit in this church really well because he's kind of weird. If you were here for the first class, you'll know what that meant. But he said one time, he says, all I really do is do a lot of movie reviews, because he uses like the storylines that are in movies to tell stories. But this learning to change the culture by responding to situations, I was reminded of there was a TV show, I think it's still on, it's called The 100, and it was about a nuclear holocaust that took place on Earth. In the meantime, there were 13 stations out in the out, or 13 space stations out. They kind of came together and formed a colony, and supposedly, at least they thought, they were the only living humans anywhere. And on this space station, they were able to produce oxygen and everything else, but they could only produce so much. So because of that, they gradually got to the point where if you were over 18, every crime, the punishment was death, because they were overpopulated for the space station that they had. So if you got caught stealing a toothbrush, they did what they called floated you. They would put you in a chamber, open the hatch, and you got sucked out into space. It was the culture in which they had over time had kind of come to, this is normal. Well, the interesting thing is eventually they ended up on Earth, and their whole culture had to be changed, because you'd have to kill somebody for just stealing a toothbrush anymore. There was plenty of space and plenty of oxygen. So sometimes we just over time, cultures begin to take shape and to form. This morning, I'd like to take a look at another option besides those two. One is somewhat pretty passive when we're just responding, because rivers respond. They don't really have to think much. They just move with the least resistance. They just follow whatever the path of least resistance. And so the response of culture is just following the path of least resistance. The other way is very difficult. I know people that are extremely motivated with exercise. I'm not. I know some people who are different things in their life that just motivate them beyond my human understanding. Doesn't work for me. But there are things that motivate me that they probably wouldn't understand either. They would have to make themselves get there. Right? So when we try to do it within our own strength, we're kind of pushing a boulder up a hill. Doesn't mean it can't be done. Look what mankind has done. Look at the pyramids. I mean, really? You think about that, that's kind of crazy that they could figure out a way to make that happen before there were any ways to make that happen. So we can push a boulder up a hill, but I don't know that that's always the best way. That's kind of difficult. In the Old Testament, God made a covenant with Abram. He sealed the deal by revealing himself as fire. Remember, if you want to turn with me, it's Genesis chapter 15, verse 17. And I think most of these are in the New Living Translation. Genesis 15, 17. This is after God had said to Abram, "You're going to have more descendants than the sand on the seashore, more descendants than the stars in the sky." Now, he hadn't even had a child yet. But God reveals himself as fire. It says, "After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses." It's interesting because in a covenant, which is what we have with him, right? How many have a covenant with God? We have a covenant with God. A covenant with God, it's interesting because covenants work like this. In the Old Testament, a covenant was done like this. If my clan, which would be me, my wife, all my kids, my land, my animals, and my neighbor, which would be Brad, and all his wife, and all his kids, and all his lands, and all... well, at that time, it could be more than one, right? And we decided that we were going to covenant together. What that meant was is we were going to become blood brothers. I was going to give everything I have to defend him and everything he has. And he was going to defend with everything that he had, everything that was mine and all me and all of my stuff. We were going to become partners and we were going to fight the world together. That's what a covenant was. Okay? That's what a covenant is. And God, in this first covenant with Abram, he seals the deal by revealing himself as fire moving through the carcasses and the blood that was shed. Because see, when you become blood brothers, you mingle your blood. Okay? So here we are. Maybe not the first, but this is one of the first experiences where God reveals himself as fire. And then we find him again in Exodus 3. When God wanted to get Moses' attention and let him know that it was time to free his people, he came as a fire. We talked about this last Sunday morning early session about a theophany, and one of the definitions of a theophany is God revealing himself to humankind in some form or fashion. And so as the burning bush would have been considered in that definition, a theophany, okay? Okay. So he reveals himself as a flame or fire on a bush that was not consuming the bush. Exodus 3, 1 through 3 says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire in the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed with flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't the bush burning up? I must go see. So God reveals himself in fire to get Moses' attention. Out of that fire also came direction. Out of that fire came purpose. Now, the thing is, we know about Moses that Moses kind of already knew what his purpose was. He just was out of God's timing, right? Now, we're talking about 40-year increments. I don't know about you. 40 years seems to be a pretty decent chunk of time to the human mind anyways, and the human age. At 40, you start seeing changes physically. All kinds of them. Here he is at 80 years old. God gets his attention through the fire. And then he speaks to him and says, now is the time. And at this point, we know the story. Moses gets scared and says, wait a minute, I already tried that. It didn't work. See, he tried to change the culture on his own, right? When he went after the Egyptian, he tried to change the culture on his own. And God was going, nah, not my timing. Now's my timing, and you will be able to change the culture of the children of Israel with my help. And through the fire, he spoke to Moses and changed everything. We also know that as God was leading the children of Israel in the desert, he revealed himself at least at night by fire, right? Exodus 13:21, the Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. Fire, the fire of God, will illuminate direction and path. The fire of God will illuminate direction and purpose. In Deuteronomy, when he gave them the Ten Commandments, he revealed himself through fire. Deuteronomy 4. 11 through 13. Deuteronomy 4, 11 through 13. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while flames from the mountain shot into the sky. The mountain was shrouded in black clouds and deep darkness, and the Lord spoke to you from the heart of the fire. You heard the sound of his words, but didn't see his form. There was only a voice. He proclaimed his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to keep, and which he wrote in two stone tablets. It's okay. Just glad it wasn't me. In Daniel, he reveals himself as the fourth man in the fire. In Malachi, he reveals himself again as the fire. How many of you ever heard this? There's a fire in his belly. There's something that is driving him. There's something that is kind of igniting him or her. Something is making them go. That it's the same as purpose, right? It's knowing without a shadow of a doubt what your purpose is, and then not being compliant, not being just kind of hanging out, but no, there's a fire. It's more than purpose. See, purpose says, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what's going to happen. And as Christians, a lot of times, how many know without a shadow of a doubt that God is sovereign? How many know that? God is sovereign. Well, if we take that concept too far, that means we don't do anything because God is in control of everything and we don't take part of it. That's not really how that works. God is sovereign. But he partners with us to make things and accomplish things here on earth. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouthpiece. Granted, he could speak for himself. I've heard him. Granted, he can touch with himself. I've felt him. Personally, I haven't experienced it, but I know some of you knows that he can reveal himself in a smell because you've smelled him. Right, Miss Elsie? So he can reveal himself, but he likes revealing himself through us also. Luke chapter 12 in the New Testament. I have come to set the world on fire. This is Jesus speaking. I have come to set the world on fire. And I wish it were already burning. This was Jesus talking. I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me, and I am under heavy burden until it is accomplished. Jesus was baptized through the suffering of the cross. Catch that? Jesus was baptized in the suffering of the cross. Because he went through the baptism of the cross, his body, who's the body of Christ? Because he went through the baptism of the cross, his body was transformed completely from the inside out. There were huge changes that took place before the cross and after the cross. Yes, amen. There was huge differences. Because, see, the price was paid. The baptism of the cross changed the body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ. He has revealed himself over and over and over throughout the scriptures as fire. John, before even baptizing Jesus, he said, look, I baptize you in water unto repentance. But there's one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. As charismatic Pentecostals, whatever you want to call us, followers of Christ, I think, best. But from a lot of our history, there's a lot of Pentecostalism or charismaticism or whatever you want to call it in our backgrounds. And we kind of got an understanding of baptism of the Holy Spirit because he's changed us. We're different. And I truly believe that the majority of us who have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit had at least a tinge of the baptism of fire. You know how I know? Because most of us were ready to just absolutely go after the gates of hell with a water pistol. And we knew we were going to win. There was something in us. There was that fire in us that just kind of made you want to go take on the world. Tell everybody you know what Jesus has done for you. So there's a tinge of it. But I believe there is another baptism that's called a baptism of fire that will completely change us again. Acts 4:20 says, we cannot stop telling about everything we've seen and heard. This is after Peter and John were on their way to the temple, and there was the man there that said, alms, alms, remember? And they said, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have, let me give you some. Rise up and walk. And the man did. He was in his 40s. This man was in his 40s, which means for 40 years, he had pretty much been brought to this gate and had been begging. So everybody that was around there knew something major had happened. And so they take Peter and John and they put them in jail. And the next day they bring them out. Now the Pharisees and the chief priests and all those guys, they knew they weren't really going to be able to keep them on this because too many people saw what had happened. But they told him, you can't talk and teach about Jesus anymore. And they said, how do we not? How do we not talk about him? Jeremiah writes it like this in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. He says, but if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold on to it. I can't do it. Are we there? Are we at that place, church? Are we really at the place where we cannot keep our mouth shut? Are we at the place where it physically starts to hurt, like we're on fire because we're not talking about him? I want to look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 and 3 says, but who will be able to endure it when it comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. Throughout the scriptures, God has revealed himself as fire, a I believe Revelation says fire comes out of his eyes. Right? How many of you have ever heard this saying? You can't fight fire with fire. Ever heard that? You can't fight fire with fire. Now, I know firefighters will burn a fire around a fire to kind of steal all of the fuel so that when the fire gets there, it can no longer go. But you can't take a flame and try to shoot it with another flame to kill that flame. You cannot fight fire with fire. And you can't consume fire with fire. Who can stand before a mighty God that is a refiner's fire except those who are on fire? Anything else will be consumed. The fire that God answered when Elijah was praying, and he had poured water upon the bull. Remember? He dug a trench. There was water all around it. And he said, God, answer by fire. And the fire came not only to consume the sacrifice. It consumed the water. It consumed the rocks. It consumed the altar. It consumed everything. This fire that is the fire of God will consume anything that is not of him. Revelation, the angel of the Lord talks about how the church at Laodicea had lost its first love. I think a way of saying it is they kind of let the fire go out. They had let the fire kind of dwindle. The cool part about this is in Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, fan the flames that are within you. Stir up the gifts that are within you. There's a flame already in you. But to be baptized in fire, it's something inside of us that it's like our bones are on fire. There's something that changes us from the inside out. This is, wait a minute. This is not just for me. This is not just for us. This is about spreading the fire of God to anything and anyone that is flammable. It's so easy for us to just fall into the trap. Look, I'm not preaching at you guys. Please know this. I am in the same boat with you guys. And I was telling Tammy about this morning. She goes, how do you give something away that you don't even know you have yourself? I said, I don't know how, but what I do know is this. Charles Parham was talking about the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues before he ever experienced it. So just because I may not be any further along than anybody else, I'm not claiming that. All I'm saying is this. I believe that there is something missing in our walk with God if we are not on fire. I believe it was Smith Wigglesworth was asked one time, how do you get so many people to come to your meetings? And he said, I just go set myself on fire and people come see me burn. Or something to that effect. Are we really on fire for God? Is there something inside of us that we just can't keep our mouth shut? Because if that's not the case, I would venture to say we may not be on fire. There may be a kindling there. There might be a spark there. There might be something. But if everything else in our life seems to take a higher precedent or a higher priority, we may have some issues. God did not call us to just get saved and have a party and just be about us. I used the story this morning, and I think it was in 1985. There was a, in New Orleans, there was a pool party at the community pool celebrating the year because they had zero drownings at the community pool. 200 people showed up. 100 of them were certified lifeguards. When the party was about over, the four lifeguards that were on duty was kicking everybody out. And as they were kicking them out in the deep end, they found a fully dressed man. Can't remember his name off the top of my head. He was a 31-year-old man. He had drowned at a place where there were experts, but they were too busy celebrating their own celebration that they had missed saving the man's life. It's a true story. I think it's kind of important for us to say, God, we need a fresh fire from you. We need something that is going to change the dynamics. Yes, I'm willing to put in the work. There was another story this morning. How many watched the movie Ben-Hur? You guys know the movie Ben-Hur? Well, Charlton Heston had to drive a chariot, and he didn't know how to do it. So he said, I'm going to learn how to do this. So he practiced, and he had determination, and he just had dedication to learning how to do this. He finally gets it down, and he goes to the director, DeMille, Cecil D. DeMille, and he says, look, I got this down. I could drive the chariot, but I don't think I can win the race. And the director said, you don't worry about winning the race. You just worry about running that team. I'll make sure you win the race. All we can do is what we can do. But he knows. I don't know how many times I've said this, and I'm sure I will say it many, many more times. We could have been born at any other time in history. We could have been born back when the book of Acts was written. We could have been one of the 3,000 the first day. We could have been one of the 5,000 right after the guy that had been healed at the Gate Beautiful. We could have been one of the ones that were sitting at the place where Jesus fed the 5,000. We could have been there. We could have been born when, after the book of Acts, and they started persecuting the church and feeding them to the lions. We could have. We could have been born before the cross. But God saw fit to choose to have us born now. Why? Why? Maybe so he could set us on fire and change this valley. Change the world. Would you stand with me this morning? I don't want to get theologically into the woods too deep. I don't want to say that if you've been baptized in the Spirit, that you haven't been baptized with fire. I'm not going into all that. What I will say is this. If you have not been baptized in the Spirit, I highly recommend. And if you don't know for sure if you've been baptized with fire or not, I just think it's the next step of what we need. And if you have been baptized in fire, if that flame is just a twinkle, maybe we need to just pray, God, pour some gasoline on us and set us on fire for you. You went through the baptism of the cross. Let me go through the baptism of fire to change my world. We have a vision statement that says we are committed to the restoration of the body of Christ through the pursuit of his presence. That's a vision statement. That's long term. Short term, what is our purpose? Short term, what is our mission? I believe in a lot of ways that without a mission, without a purpose, we become apathetic. We just kind of do the church thing, maybe even do the Christian thing. But I truly believe that God has called us for a purpose to help people find a true relationship with a loving God. And if that hasn't been our experience yet, then we need to experience it first. And as we experience it, we pray, God, light me on fire on the inside. Change me so that I can take this message of your loving relationships to every single person I meet. Set me on fire, God, so that I can become a fire starter. Heavenly Father, we ask you this morning, this afternoon, that we need a refreshing of your spirit. We need a deposit of a new fresh fire that's shut up in our bones that we cannot keep silent. Lord, baptize us in your fire. That we may be changed from the inside out, from the outside in, from the top to the bottom, and from the bottom to the top. Change us completely, Lord. That we cannot contain ourselves when it comes to talking about your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your kindness, your healing power, your love, your deliverance. Heavenly Father, we ask right now, Holy Spirit of the living God, if you would just come and start to baptize us in your fire. Baptize us, Lord, in your spirit. We cannot manufacture it. We don't want to be phonies and make it up. So all we can do, Lord, is depend on you. As we invite you, Lord, to set our souls on fire for you. Help, make us, shape us, change us to what you would have us be. If you would like to receive prayer this morning, we'd be honored to pray with you. Heavenly Father, we love you, we honor you, and we thank you. We ask, Lord, that your blessings would be poured up out upon your people. Out of love, out of necessity for your presence, Lord, we ask for your fire to burn within us. Fan the flames, the revival that are within us already. And if there's not there, Lord, I pray that you would deposit a fresh experience of revival and refreshing and renewal in our lives. We give you the honor and the glory, for you are holy. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. May be seated. I want to talk to you about one more thing. We had a department head meeting last week, and we've been talking about changing the culture. If you don't have any of these, or if you would like some more, if you would take some of these and pass them around. Martha, can I hand you some of these, please? Pass them around. We would like to try something that we've never done before. On the back of these cards, which is the first, this was the least expensive way to start this. On the back of the card, there's an invitation for someone to come to church. All you have to do is put your name on it, and on the back, you need to probably write on there, because I missed this, service time, or just Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. All right? And then pass them out like they are free. Like they're candy. Okay? However, this is not the end of it. Next week, I would like to receive a special offering. We have put together a campaign, for lack of a better word. Campaign work? Campaign. To introduce our community to our church. And so we need to raise about $3,000. All right? For that $3,000, we will be able to put a 6.5 by 9 inch card in every residence within a 5 mile plus radius of the church. Not only will we be able to do that, but we will also have some other money to use, whether we use it with door hangers or we do more of these business cards. We will do whatever we can. This whole budget will go towards making sure that people know that Sanctuary of Praise is here and that people are welcome to come. I didn't really tell everybody a lot about this, but I told a couple. But a few weeks ago, I told you a little bit when I had first gotten back that God had kind of restored a vision that Tammy and I have had for years. And that is that we would plant churches out of here. And how that was worded has been a little redefined. And how that looks right now is it would be one church, multiple locations. So, for example, there might be a Sanctuary of Praise in Lewisburg, and there would be a Sanctuary of Praise in Danville, and a Sanctuary of Praise in Middleburg or wherever. One church, multiple locations where we come together maybe a quarterly and have celebration services. But rather than planting small churches, it would just be one church, multiple locations. And I can spend more time talking to you about that event, you know, over the course of time. But for us to be able to reach out into new communities, we really kind of need to get an idea of how to reach out in our own communities. We've got to kind of change the culture of about it being about us and reaching out for it being about others to find a relationship with Jesus Christ, a true relationship with a loving God. And part of the message this morning, I believe, is God, you got to set us on fire so that we can do the Great Commission. It's not about us. It's about everybody. And so next week, what I would like for you to consider, prayerfully consider and think about, is we need to raise about $3,000. We don't have to have all $3,000 in one foul swoop. The way this would work is we would need about $1,000 to get started, and then the rest could come in over, you know, the next 2-3 months, whatever. The sooner it comes in, the better. The sooner we could do it, the better we could do it. But that will give us the ability to put our name, Sanctuary of Praise. You saw on the cover of the bulletin today, our new logo is Come Grow With Us. That's not just grow numerically, but that's grow with us. And you saw on the business card, everything else will have that, basically the same thing. We're going to try to make it look as nice and decent as possible, getting as much information out as possible without overloading people. But next week we will do a special offering, and then maybe whatever you call it, where somebody says they'll give X amount a month for the next 3 months. Pledge, yes, there it is. See, I don't know how to do this stuff. I'm not very good at it. But I do believe that this is a small thing that we can do to get us started in changing our mindset. I mean, a couple options are putting yard signs in our yard that look very similar. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things we can do to give us a nudge in the direction of starting to talk to everybody we come in contact with. Do you know Jesus? So I ask that you would pray and ask God what he will lay on your heart to do towards this, because I do believe that we have got to become more of a church that is reaching out than just hugging ourselves. Does that make any sense? All right. One more time. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we thank you. We ask, Lord, that your blessings would be poured out upon your people. We pray that you would go with us. Keep our minds stayed upon you. We give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.